Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
In the previous program, I introduced a few things. The first thing that I introduced is that God does not have a communication problem. He doesn't have a problem communicating with us. He's very good at it. He knows exactly how to convey what he wants to convey when he wants to convey it. And that this is important to accept and it's important to understand because there are a lot of people who are confused about what the will of God may be for their lives when they make the assumption that he would like them to make certain decisions or he would like certain things to take place within their lives. They make the assumption that that is the case and they are confused or they are uncertain about the decisions that they should make because they don't know what his will is for their lives. But this is an assumption that he really has something to say about it. He really has something in mind, and they have to figure this out. But he may not. There are times when he certainly does intervene in people's lives to that degree. But when there is uncertainty, when a person will be able to say with conviction, I do not know what the will of God is for me in this circumstance. If that is what a person expresses when people contact me and ask me for advice or suggestions on how they are living their Christian lives, when something like that comes up and they say that they are uncertain, I have to ask, well, do you think that he has a communication problem? Do you think he has a problem communicating with you? And the answer, of course, is no. Well, then it could very well be that he has nothing to say about this. He is just simply waiting for you to make a decision, and he will go with whatever you decide. He's still going to be with you, and he will still work with you and grow you and mature you and help you to know more about who he is, regardless of the circumstances that you may find yourself in or the circumstances that you might be dealing with. And so that's the first thing that I introduced. And the second thing that I introduced that's really important to consider is that the will of God is not just about his desire or his interest or the things that he would like to see take place. It's also a description of an inheritance. And in this program, I'm going to spend some time talking about the idea of an inheritance and so that you can get a better understanding for the implications of what it means to have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. When it comes to the will of God in the context of his desire for us, there is certainly a lot that I can say about that. For example, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, he encourages people to understand that the will of God for them, in the sense of his desire for them, is that they don't engage in sin. He expresses that in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he speaks about giving thanks, that regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in, you should give thanks. Give thanks in all things, because regardless of how wonderful or how awful something may be, it will still be an opportunity for you to engage the world that you are a part of, and it will be an opportunity for the Lord to speak with you and to show you things and to help you to understand more about who he is, which he does tend to do quite a bit, especially through the difficult times of life. As for myself, I have found that in most cases, the Lord has revealed the most to me through the difficult times and through the sufferings and the struggles of regular daily life in my own life. This is something that I have noticed, and a lot of people who I've talked with have noticed this as well. And so it is his desire that we give thanks for all things, no matter how good or how awful they may be, because they are wonderful opportunities in the life that we have. But there are other places where the will of God is spoken of in the context of an inheritance. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 between verses 9 and 12, in verse 9 it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so in verse 9, he speaks about the will. Here in verse 12, he speaks about the inheritance in the sense of the inheritance of the saints. He speaks about the knowledge of God in the sense of knowing Him in verse 10. And so this is a good example of what it means to understand the will of God from the perspective of the inheritance of the things that we have received. Now, to appreciate this more, I think it's important for us to spend some time looking at the Old Testament with regards to the establishment of the nation of Israel, because this is where the Lord established the foundation for what He would reveal at a later date, the things that we now see, the things that we now understand in the context of the New Covenant. It was in the Old Covenant that a lot of groundwork was laid, and I think it's important to understand it and appreciate it, because these are foundationary principles that a lot of people just simply do not know. And because of that, it's hard for them to relate to some of the other things that the Lord is speaking about later, that I believe He is making the assumption you understood previous things that He spoke about before. With regards to the establishment of the nation of Israel, a very important part of the establishment of the nation of Israel was to give them a place to be. They had to have a place to exist, and they had to have the means of building a nation. Everyone had to have the means of building their own individual lives so that collectively they could be a sound and strong and fortified nation established by God for the purpose of being His personal representatives and having a place for Him to dwell and His name to be spoken of, things like that. And so when the Lord pulled the nation of Israel out of Egypt, He pulled them out of Egypt and gave them the promised land, the land that had been promised previously to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, when the Lord spoke with Abraham about being righteous because he believed Him. Right after that, that's in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where He speaks about righteousness being established on the basis of believing God and trusting Him. In the next verse, in verse 7, He declares that He is going to give the land to Abraham so that he may have it as an inheritance, that he may inherit the land. And there were a lot of implications related to that. This is where God initiated the concept and the issue that He would be relating to Abraham and his children in this way, that their relationship, the relationship would be defined initially by God giving them the land that they can make use of, that they can live on, that they can build their lives with, and that this would be described as Him giving to them an inheritance. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 30, He spoke to the children of Israel about driving the inhabitants out little by little, that He would drive them out so that they would inherit the land. Later in Exodus chapter 32, this is just before the golden calf incident, the Lord was speaking with Moses, and He explains to Moses that the land was going to be given to the people of Israel and that they would inherit it forever. And so there was a lot that the Lord had to say about this issue of inheritance, and eventually the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, did enter into the land, and the land was allocated according to the tribes, according to the size of the tribes, and according to the topography and the geography and the geology of the land. So the Lord allocated the land to the different tribes, and they were given a place to be. They were given a place to exist. And it was described to them as an inheritance that they had received. Only 11 of the 12 tribes received an inheritance. The 12th tribe, the Levitical tribe, did not receive an allotment of land. So the allocation was a distribution to 11 of the 12 tribes, and this is described in Numbers chapter 26 and 27, Numbers chapter 32, 34, And there was also another issue with regards to inheritance rights in chapter 36. So again, that's mainly in Numbers where the land was allocated to the different tribes, Numbers 26, 27, 32, 34, and then some residual things in chapter 36. But with regards to the Levites, in Numbers chapter 18, there is a very good description in Numbers chapter 18 about the Levites not having an inheritance in the sense of the land itself, but that their inheritance would be the tithe, that the 11 tribes would be giving to the Levitical tribe a portion, a percentage of what they produced, and then the Levites would be able to use those things that the other tribes gave them so that they could build their lives and fulfill their responsibilities. The Levitical tribe was given the responsibility of effectively being the overseers or the government structure to ensure that the law of God that was given through Moses would be enforced. In order for them to take the time out of their lives to do that and perform the enforcement of the laws that were given by God, they needed resources to do that, to be able to fulfill those obligations and to have the time to be able to do that kind of work. So they used the tithes that were given to them from the other tribes, that the other tribes were able to grow and produce on their land. The Levitical tribe received a portion of what the other tribes produced, and the Lord described it as an inheritance, and that's what they used in order to perform the functions and the responsibilities that were given to them. And of course, all of this is also described throughout the book of Deuteronomy, where things were repeated in a different format, in a covenantal format, in order to establish the official declaration that this is the nation of Israel and how it is going to function. And so eventually all the land was allocated. It was all granted to the different tribes and the people within the tribes, and so that the people could begin to live their lives and build their lives. They were able to obtain the water, the food, the wood, the minerals, all the things that they would need in order to build life, in order to build civilization, in order to build wealth. All wealth, no matter what it is, in one form or another, will come from the land, or there will be a dependency on what is obtained from the land in order to develop all wealth that exists within the world. So without the land, without the means of production, the nation of Israel would not be a nation. It would not have been able to survive very long at all. And so instead of controlling the individual lives of the Israelites, instead of exercising his supreme will on every molecule that may exist and on every thought that might exist within the people, instead what he did was he gave them a certain amount of authority. He gave them boundaries to function within. He gave them land to dwell on. He gave them the fundamental resources that they would need in order to build their lives and live their lives. That is the relationship that existed between God and the nation of Israel, as was expressed in the Old Covenant. The relationship was that he would be the God who would participate with them in making sure that their homes, their lands, their country, their boundaries would be secured. He would participate in ensuring the security of their nation. He would participate to ensure the rains would fall at the appropriate times and in the appropriate amounts. He would participate in certain ways. That would be his role in the relationship, and their role in the relationship was that they would obey his commandments and that they would be a living testimony of who he is. And that is a pretty good description of the relationship that was established between God and the nation of Israel. It was a relationship of the flesh. It absolutely was. It was not a relationship of the Spirit. It was not a relationship of eternal life. There was never any promise that God made that the children of Israel, that anybody, would have a place in the kingdom of heaven. That was not what this relationship was about. It was a different kind of relationship that was established in order to give initial definitions for things, basic understandings of things. It was a way that God could express himself in simple ways that everybody could understand. It was a way of him establishing a foundation that he could use later in order to later build an understanding of the need for another covenant, a new covenant, a different kind of relationship, one that would be based on the issues related to the Spirit and not the issues related to the flesh. And so this is how he did it. He did it in this way so that he could speak later on about other things. For example, in the passage that I read earlier in Colossians, where he speaks about the knowledge of his will. Again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul wrote, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." Well, the old covenant did not make many provisions for these things. To be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, there was no law that promised or suggested that you would have the wisdom of God or the spiritual understanding of God. There was nothing in the old covenant about that. That was about, here's the land. Here's your allotment of land. These are the laws. These are the rules. Follow the laws, follow the rules, and everything will work out just fine. But if you don't follow the rules, I'm going to kick you out of the land in a similar way that I brought you into it. That was the relationship there that God had with the nation of Israel. Paul is speaking about the new covenant. There was something that would come later. But he's able to use terms. He's able to use words, issues such as the knowledge of his will and the inheritance that we have of the saints and in the saints, that there are things that we can relate to because God established a foundation using the basic principles of living our lives, of what it takes to build life, of what it takes to sustain life. He uses those basic principles to be able to relate to us other things at a later date. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Again, "as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Well, these things were not given at the foundation of the nation of Israel. They were not given through the law. These are things that are given as an inheritance through the new covenant, through the gospel, through the Lord Jesus. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." This is something that came later, that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given us these things, but these things are different from what God gave the nation of Israel. The Lord gave the nation of Israel the land, and that was all that they needed for life and godliness to a certain extent. It's what they needed in order to stay alive so that they could try to live their lives as God would hope for, as God expected, and that there would be godliness. Of course, they completely failed, but not because they had a lack of resources, but because there was something wrong with the people, that there needed to be a change within the people. They needed to be born again. They needed to be made spiritually alive. They needed to have a different kind of relationship with their God. Again, the people needed to have a different kind of relationship with their God so that his divine power would give to them all the things they truly needed that pertained to both life and godliness. The relationship that was established before was a very limited one, very limited. But the relationship that was established through the new covenant, that was something else. This all begins with the restoration of the Holy Spirit to dwell within humanity. When God created humanity, He created us in a way that His Spirit would dwell within us, that we would function through the relational connection between us and our God. Not because we knew what was good and evil or right or wrong, but because we had a person who was with us, who would guide us and lead us and meet the deepest needs of our hearts. But the deception of the devil was, no, all you need to know is what to do. You just need to know what to do and what not to do. You just need to know what is good, what is evil, and everything will work out just fine. When God established the nation of Israel, He established the nation on that premise. On the premise of, this is the law. This is good. This is evil. Here's the land. Go for it. Give it your best shot. Go ahead and see if you can be how I created you to be. If you have a place to exist, if you have all the resources that you have a need for, and you have all the rules, you have all the laws, you have all the knowledge of good and evil that is necessary, is it going to be enough? And of course, we have a lot of history that is well documented that answers that question very well. The answer is no, of course not. For us to live our lives and have what we need for true life and true godliness, we need to be resurrected. We need to be made alive. We need our God to dwell within us again. We need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit was described as a part of the inheritance that we have received as a result of the death of the Messiah, the living God manifested in the flesh, the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, for example, this is Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, it says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." The Holy Spirit, a guaranteed or a deposit, the Holy Spirit is a part of and a way of understanding our inheritance that we already have in Christ Jesus. This is further explained in 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote about this a little bit more in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Again, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God, referring to an inheritance that we have received that was described by a will that went into effect when the Lord died. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He rose from the dead. The new covenant, the will of God, went into effect, as I explained in the previous program in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. A testament goes into effect after someone dies. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, for a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. This is how he defines the will of God. And so this is the first way that I want you to understand this. I want you to understand the will of God in the context of an inheritance. I want you to understand that he established a foundation for this by defining the nation of Israel through giving them a territory of land that he described as an inheritance, and the Mosaic Law as the rules and regulations that they were to follow as they behaved, as they lived their lives in the land that was given to them as an inheritance, and that this was a foreshadowing of what he would later reveal to the whole world, not just the nation of Israel, but he would reveal to the whole world that there is an inheritance for everyone, that everyone can receive in the world, beginning with the restoration of the Holy Spirit, so that we can truly live our lives and increase in the knowledge of who He is. Again, The subject of inheritance was established in the nation of Israel as the giving of the land to be a foreshadowing that is now revealed, and the reality is the inheritance of the Holy Spirit, so that we may live our lives with all the things that we need for life and godliness. And I will continue with this in the next program. Thank you for listening. This program is the second program in the series produced on the will of God, and the purpose for this program was to describe the historical background related to understanding the will of God as the description of an inheritance that we have received in Christ Jesus. I explained how the nation of Israel was established by the giving of the land as an inheritance to the people, and that this foreshadowed the giving of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant, which would be available for everyone in the world, and that the giving of the Holy Spirit is also described as an inheritance. That is the reality that was foreshadowed in the old covenant that we now live in today in accordance with the gospel. And that this is the means through which we are able to build our lives. Just as the nation of Israel was granted the land in order to build their lives, so we also have been granted the Holy Spirit as part of our inheritance to begin to build our lives with what we have been given, all that we have a need for life and godliness.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.